Hello, we are on air broadcasting live from Burlington High School. This is Help Desk Live, Episode 6, and I am Jen Sheffer, Instructional Technology Specialist here at Burlington. And joining me today as a host is my student, Mira Mehdi, who is currently a junior, and she'll be conducting today's interview with our guests. And I'll let Mira introduce who that guest will be.
Hi. Today, our guest is Paige Woodard. She is a senior at Franklin Community High School in Franklin, Indiana. She is part of a student-run, project-based high school class called Innovations, and she actually teaches the teachers on the benefits of social media in the classroom.
We're really excited to have Paige joining us, and just before we start the interview, just to give viewers an idea of how she and I met, I believe it was her teacher, Don Wetrick, who tweeted out a link to her blog, and her Twitter handle was mentioned, and so I clicked on it, and then I started to explore what Paige was doing in her class, and I was just blown away. So I wanted to have Paige on as a guest to talk to, really, to the whole global audience. Hopefully we'll have some people watching here, about the power of social media. And I really want students to hear from another student about how social media tools can be leveraged to develop a network and do all kinds of different things that I'll let Paige talk about. So thank you, Paige, for taking time out of your school day to be with us, and we really appreciate it. So we'll start with the first question Mira wanted to ask.
So could you tell us about your innovations class and what you do as a student in there?
Yes, I first wanted to thank you guys for having me on the show. I definitely appreciate it. And in my innovations class, it is, as Mira said, project-based, and it is also student-run. And so we basically choose a passion that we really want to explore throughout the year and design a personalized learning path of how we are going to accomplish our certain project. And so actually at first I wanted to write a book and go through the self-publishing process. And the timeline that we were on just didn't really match that. And so we had a brainstorming session, which is an awesome aspect of innovations class. And so we all were just throwing out ideas of what is the most important aspects of a teenager's life. And of course, social media came up, duh. We're always on our phones texting and on Twitter and Facebook and other social networking sites. And so we started taking it to another level, Mr. Wetrick and I, of, you know, we see students so many times these days making the mistake of cursing too much, using too many emoticons without using words to express how they feel. And so we wanted to take it to another level of, okay, let's first educate the educators on why social media is beneficial, and then take it to the students and explain why this digital tool will expel, you know, take you so much farther in your career than what you could just do on paper by yourself.
I'm actually part of my TED Ed club, and in our TED Ed club, we each have like a topic we're passionate about and present a TED talk on it. And first I was going to do like obesity in America, but then the other day I was thinking I kind of wanted to do how cell phones have changed like social society, and I want to talk about how like there's some negatives to it but also all the positives to it too with social media and everything. And and I also want to ask you, what topic did you select for your project and why do you feel that topic is important?
So what I am choosing to focus on is social media in the education system, and my end goal for my project is to film a DVD that will explain why social media is beneficial in the classroom and then how it can be incorporated into the curriculum. So I think that's really awesome that you're doing something on the technological advances that we as our generation have grown up with, when other, you know, the educators that are in the system now don't understand how an intricate part of our lives technology and social media honestly is. So I think that's really cool.
My other question is, I want to ask you, how you feel that, how do you feel that your project promotes responsible digital citizenship?
So this term, digital citizenship, I actually hadn't really heard of it when before I started my project. I knew that students were not taking the correct steps while using social media, but I never really heard of the term. Now I do know what it is, and I believe it's extremely important because I've always had the idea that my peers are not thinking about the future consequences that their actions right now in this moment have on, you know, it's a great impact on your future. College admissions, we have heard, you know, forever the fear of having our college admissions, seeing our Facebook posts from 2008 when we were 13, and like, oh crap, I have to go and delete everything now. And so I believe it's extremely important, instead of going back your senior year through 5-6 years and deleting everything that you don't believe is appropriate, you might as well learn from the beginning what is and what isn't appropriate on the internet. So one, you're not wasting time, and two, you're creating habits that will just move you forward throughout the rest of your career and maybe even get you opportunities that you didn't even think were possible because you are handling yourself in such a professional and way.
Paige, that segues into a question that I have for you. What are your plans after high school, and do you have you found that your use of social media to build a network for yourself is helping you achieve your career goals, and is that leveraging you towards your goals? And could you share that with us?
Yes, before starting Innovations, I actually wanted to go into psychology. I was so interested in the human brain and just thought that was really cool. But after starting this class, I believe wholeheartedly that I have found my niche in entrepreneurship. And so I am actually going into the Indiana University's Kelly School of Business at the Indianapolis location some scholarship, and so hopefully I can go into marketing and go into brand marketing. That's another thing I've been really interested in. I believe that the connections that I made, particularly at Stanford University when I went to California, I met with Sarah Price, who is a person who works at Google, at the Google headquarters, and her and I were speaking about how in the job field, she hires people and they think that they understand full-heartedly what the job description, like they have the skills to complete that, and they actually don't have those technological skills as much. And so she really wants to go into brand marketing and saying, like, this is exactly what our company needs, this is what we need. And so I was going into that and thinking that that's probably something I definitely want to do, of thinking still on the line of social media and how to utilize that just to expand your audience and bring your brand to another level.
My background is actually in business and marketing as well, so I'm a little biased in, you know, guiding students down that path, but I think there's definitely we're seeing technology, social media, and business and marketing, you know, all merge into one field. There's so many great opportunities, so I think you're going into a great industry. Another question I had, you can jump in at any time, but I have a question about the impact that you're having on your own school community and your peers within your own district or the community at large or surrounding towns, because you had a huge impact on me. I know that when we get into online communication in my digital literacy class, I'm going to be having students watch all of your Twitter videos, what, you know, the top 10 things not to do on Twitter, because I think you'll be very influential over them, and I think you're going to have a great impact, especially because you are their peer. And I'd be curious to know about the impact that you're having at your school, and have you noticed any behavior changes online, behavior changes as a result of your efforts?
I definitely believe that I myself have been even more weary of what I'm posting since I do research more. I make sure that I am more aware. However, I am still working on having a meeting with my school board and trying to get something installed there. I hope that they buy my DVD, or maybe I'll give them a free copy. I don't know. So we can hopefully start that process. However, my school next year is just now going one-to-one with giving every student a Chromebook. And so we're a little bit farther behind than some other schools, such as Burlington High School. And so I'm definitely trying to make an impact. However, I've been focusing more on expanding my brand throughout the nation rather than staying in my hometown for some other reasons. But I hope in the future some students from my hometown will watch my DVD and, you know, enroll in the innovations class or a class similar to that, and hopefully that will help their professional career as well.
So you're on to bigger and better things, basically.
Not bigger and better, but more open-minded.
Yeah.
I'll leave it at that.
If your school, if you need a reference, let me know. Because I'm certainly just blown away by your presence online. I have my students do an assignment called the Creeper Assignment, where they have to Google search me, and they have to come back and report on what they find out about me. I might have them do the same thing about you, because everything that comes up in a Google search when you search Paige Woodard is what you have published yourself. Your blog is fantastic. It's really impressive. So if I were a recruiter or a college admissions person, which I was years ago, you would certainly be somebody that would come to, you know, emerge as a leader in, I'm sure you're going to be a campus leader when you go off to college. And the correspondence you and I have had through email, too, has just been so impressive. The way you communicate in writing, I feel like I'm talking with a colleague, not a high school senior. So do you find that your use of these social media tools has benefited your written and oral communication skills, and to what extent?
Thank you very much for the kind comments. I definitely appreciate it. And I believe that I've always been a strong writer. However, through my blog, I have definitely realized that there are different audiences, and you have to adjust your tone and your vocabulary when you're thinking about who you are directing your post to. I do try to write more towards the educators. However, I will also switch it up and say, okay, now pass it off to your students, and now I'm going to talk as though I am a peer. And I do believe that the first time I actually Googled my name and things started popping up about my social media education mission, I really realized how much of an impact I am having, and that I do need to stay professional in emails and on my Twitter, and I need to make sure that I am personifying the person that I want to come off across in interviews and as in the professional realm.
So could you speak to the audience of hopefully students that are watching who say, you know, I'm going to do the same thing, Paige. I'm going to have a professional online presence. I'm going to have an account that's all for that type of communication. And then I'm going to have a second account that is my personal account. So what's your take on the public professional online presence versus the private and personal online presence? Do you practice that? And what advice do you have for students who are going to take that route? Do you think that's wise? Or I just wanted your perspective on that issue.
Right. And I do have a professional Twitter that I tailor specifically towards my social media education mission. And so I believe if you are going to have a professional online presence, keep it towards a specific audience. You don't want to allow your personal and professional thoughts and ideas mesh on the same account. And so I definitely make sure that anything that I'm posting has to do with what I want to accomplish in the professional world. As for my personal Twitter, I have it set to private, as I want to regulate who is seeing my posts and who is not. And I also still ensure that I am not using profane language. I'm not using 100 emoticons to express my emotions when I understand in no words that would probably get that message across even better. I think, you know, if you are going to use a personal and a professional, I think it's a great idea, as I do use it. However, you want to understand your purpose, because you want to stay at a certain degree of professional on both pages. So if you just want to have one personal that you do keep public, but also regulate even more strictly what you are posting, I also agree that that's a route you can go as well. It really just depends on your personal preference and what you're trying to accomplish.
Kind of just touched upon this, like, whether making it, like, private or public. Ms. Shepherd told me the other day that colleges, like, don't want to see you not have a Twitter or not have a Facebook. Like, you shouldn't just delete those things, but you should just, like, utilize them in, like, a good way. So what do you feel like I should, or anyone should become private and say what they want, or public but still, you know, watch what they're saying for their personal Twitter or professional one, too?
Well, for my personal Twitter and even my Facebook, I will admit that there are posts on there that are maybe a little questionable, and I still don't delete them because I don't want colleges to look at me and say, oh, well, she just went back and deleted everything, and she's not a real teenager, because we do make mistakes. We do, you know, use the occasional curse word or, you know, whatever, post, retweet something that's inappropriate. Whatever. I think that if you are making a distinct choice in your head to say, you know what, I want to represent myself in this specific way, keep it public. If you want everyone to be able to search you and to know exactly what you're thinking on a daily basis, if it's not you posting pictures of food, or pictures of you on the beach at spring break, okay, then go ahead and do that. I think that's a great idea. However, I still like to keep some privacy to where I have a small friend group and I know who is able to see my posts and who's not. Of course, college admissions have ways of getting in even to that private which account. So that means that you still need to regulate what you're doing. But if you post a picture of your dog, not all of your professional followers will also see that, and, you know, that doesn't mix business with pleasure at all.
You also don't want to seem like you're hiding anything, too.
Right, right. That's true.
Yeah, for me, I'm on Twitter. That's how we connected initially, and I have a public Instagram. The only social media platform that I have that's private is Facebook, but it might as well, I often joke and say, you know, it might as well be public because there's nothing on there that would, you know, be inappropriate. But like you said, that's, you know, my personal family life that I choose not to share. And even some educators, I'm sure you have seen, you know, even in their Twitter profile picture, they choose to reveal that they're, you know, father of three or mother of two, you know, and so it gets a little bit personal. I've seen even some profile pictures of colleagues, educators that have their family members in the picture, and that's fine. That's their personal choice and their preference, you know. But again, it's still appropriate. It's nothing that's inappropriate. So we talk about in marketing, there's a concept known as the four P's: product, price, place, promotion. So you talk about going into social media branding. You know, I'll talk to my students about when you're publishing online, when you're creating content about yourself, you're creating an online image. You're producing brand me, so to speak. So what do you want that public brand image to project to the global audience? And why not have that online persona be the same as who you really are? Because I think eventually it's the real you is going to come out. So you might as well project yourself as the, you know, the same person on and offline. This is another question that you hear a lot about. We're not going to allow our students to have access to social media tools because they're going to use them to cyberbully. So how would you respond to educators or administrators who say, you know, we just can't go that route because we just can't run the risk of the cyberbullying? How would, from a student perspective, how would you respond to that?
I do believe cyberbullying is a great issue and definitely should be addressed in schools. However, usually cyberbullying happens through a lack of information and a lack of understanding of how to use social media properly. So from a student standpoint, I understand that the school should not have to teach kids everything. That's also a parental decision that a lot of parents choose not to make. But I definitely believe that if you are going to institute social media usage in the classroom, discuss with your students what the expectations are, and if they break it, they're not allowed to use it. And really, that's only hindering the student, because they are then not allowed to network with other professionals and project their career forward tenfold. So really, that's really just a punishment for them while still allowing other students to move forward.
You sure you don't want to go into the field of education, Paige?
I've honestly thought about meshing the two. So in the future, ask me in 3 years. We'll see.
Yeah. Well, there's certainly no shortage of tech companies that are education-focused, especially with how rapidly technology is changing and growing in the education sector. So I don't think you should rule that out. And like you said, meshing all these passions that you have together, roll them up into one, because I could just see you doing a lot of those things, as same with my help desk students. I think it's students coming from Burlington and other progressive schools are at such a huge advantage because they have experience and exposure to these tools while they're in high school. If they make mistakes, their teachers and administrators can guide them and coach them to not make those mistakes again in the future. What better place to learn than school? I also think this is my 13th year teaching, and I've never seen such strong presentations given by my students, oral presentations, and I don't know if that has anything to do with the fact that they're writing all the time on different social media platforms, but I've seen excellent oral presentations, and I've seen excellent written blog posts and papers that my students have written. I think you are all at an advantage over students who are not able to access those tools in school. So I'm really impressed with it, and I think the students don't realize how fortunate they are, because most schools are still fearful of allowing those in the classroom. So it's hard to believe, but I think I hear a bell ringing.
Yes, sorry.
No, it's okay. It's hard to believe that the half hour is over, and I wish we could have a longer conversation. And we started a little bit late today. We had a couple technical snafus, but we managed to get through it. But I would like to give you the last signing off here, as we sign off, the last comments on advice for people, and for really in particular for students, if they're not buying the whole professional use of social media tools. What are your last words of wisdom for the students?
I can really only tell students to look at the things that I am doing and that my other classmates are doing in this innovations class by collaborating with professionals, and see how far. In only 2-3 months after me starting my innovations project, I was invited out to Stanford University to make a presentation in front of a class in one of the most prestigious universities in the nation. And that was only in 3 months. Imagine what students could do if they started at a middle school level, even if as a freshman in high school, and then moving forward through their life. You know, there's so many opportunities out there. And I think digital tools such as Twitter and Facebook allow you to connect with those opportunities at a more deeper level and at a more earlier time than when you are embarking on your first job after college is over. You know, you lost a lot of time if you had started earlier utilizing those tools properly. So I believe that social media, it's a good thing. Everyone should have a Twitter, and should definitely consider using it for more professional use than just tweeting out every single thought that pops out of your head on a daily basis.
That's excellent advice.
I think it's crazy that you're only like a grade older than me, because you're so much more advanced, even like more than some teachers.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm sure that, you know, there's a lot of other students out there just like me. And, you know, even you, Mira, interviewing, you know, on this Help Desk Live episode, it's just so much farther than what a lot of students are and will be. And that's sad. So we need to band together to help bring everyone to the same level.
Absolutely. I hope you'll be able to, I'll tweet out some links to some of my student blog posts from Help Desk and from Web 2.0 and my digital literacy class. Maybe we can start a dialogue. My students who are blogging in that class for their 20% time projects, they're getting really excited. They're tracking their stats of viewers and, you know, the classroom is getting a little chaotic and I... You know, what's going on? What's all this commotion? And it's excitement over how many people have been looking at their blog posts. So I kind of let that slide because they're just getting excited about what they're doing. So thank you so much. I know that we'll stay connected. And congratulations to you on all your success. You're just phenomenal. So I appreciate you being with us. And I hope a lot of educators and administrators and parents will watch this and will listen to you and take your advice and move their schools forward on behalf of all the students. So next week will be episode 7 of Help Desk Live, and we're interviewing Andrew Minock from Two Guys with iPads. So we're going to be talking Google Glass, and I'm sure we'll be talking some iPads too. So thanks for watching, Mira. Fantastic.
Thank you.
A couple more weeks, I will be off the air, and this will be all student-run, completely start to finish. So thanks again, Paige.
Thank you very much.
Have a great day.
You as well.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.